Pastor Lauer from our Saviors Lutheran Church in Mankato, which brings you this brief broadcast each Sunday morning at 9:02 and again on Sunday afternoon about 5:45. Our Saviors is located at 1103 North Broad Street in Mankato. That's just across the street from Franklin Elementary. Sunday services are at 8 and 10:30 a.m. We also have a service on Saturday evening at 6. Please join us for Christian worship, education, fellowship, and service.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Pat Connolly, in loving memory of Jack Connolly and their daughter, Susan Connolly Baker.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, through our Lord and our Savior Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. Okay, so this morning I'm going to let you in on what is probably not really too much of a secret. Some of you have experience this sort of thing firsthand, but it's the kind of thing that Pastor Lauer and I do on a semi-regular basis. Okay, so I'm just going to tell you a story about what it's like to be us sometimes. Okay, so this happened to me a few years ago. Right, I get a phone call, and someone says, "Pastor, you don't know me, but my name is so and so, Bob, whatever." And somebody in our church is in the hospital. Yes, I said Bob. It's okay. Somebody from our congregation is in the hospital. We need your help. Would you please come quickly? I said, sure. Yeah, that's what I'll do. So they gave me the hospital, and they gave me the room number. Okay, this is a hospital I had never been to before, and so I didn't know what wing or whatever, so you got to go and find where do I park, what do I do here, and go into the hospital, and I figure out as I'm walking through that the room number that they had given me is the intensive care unit. So, okay, this happens sometimes. So I go into the intensive care unit, and as you may or may not know, hopefully you don't know, I guess, the intensive care unit is a little bit more open than most of the places in the hospital. There's not rooms for every person because usually there's a lot more care that's required. That's why they call it the intensive care unit. And so the things are open. In this particular one, it was basically just a floor, and the only thing separating any of the patients were just curtains that could be open and closed so that all the staff can move around more freely and do what they need to do. And so I walked sort of aimlessly, through this unit looking for the room number, the bed number of the person that I was there to find. And I walked up to this bed of this poor woman who just hardly resembled even a person because she had been so severely injured. And there's tubes and machines and computers and beeps and buzzes and groans and pumps. And sitting at the foot of her bed was her son and her husband. And they'd been sitting there for a few hours since this woman had had this accident that sent her to the intensive care unit. And I don't know them. I never met them before, any of them. And so I walk up to this bed, and these two people in the depths of grief look up at me. What am I supposed to say to them? Now, this is a semi-dramatic sort of thing, but many of you have probably found yourselves in a very similar situation in your own family or with friends or whatever. And oftentimes, what we find ourselves with to say are promises of future things. Sometimes we'll turn and say, don't worry, things will get better. Really kind of generally. Things will improve. Here comes the doctor. He's going to give you some pain medication that will help. Sometimes if the injury is minor enough, you say, no problem. This is really not that big of a deal. You'll recover. And we promise things about what things will be like in the future. So thinking about that, I want to direct your attention to these amazing promises that we find in Isaiah's prophecy this morning that we have. He's got to be standing by an ICU bed, if I'm thinking about this, because here's what he says. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. The kind of things that I might say to you if I come and see you in the hospital. But he says, behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. But see, Isaiah is up against the same problem that I'm up against, that you're up against. He promises things that are going to happen in the future. All the verbs are in the future tense. Your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. Isaiah, just like me, just like you, in the present moment is sort of left helpless. Something good is going to happen, but unfortunately, I can't take you out of the ICU right now. I know you're lame, I know you're mute, I know you're deaf. I'm sorry, but there's nothing that I can do about that, but let me give you a promise about the future. And oftentimes in the present moment, promises about the future ring a little bit hollow. Oh, God will come and save me, but where is he now? It's a common sort of problem that we as Christians find ourselves up against. But you may have noticed that the reason that we have this prophecy from Isaiah this morning is because in the gospel lesson, Jesus sort of references it. Did you pick up on that? John the Baptist is not in an ICU unit, but he might as well be. He's in prison. John the Baptist, that great prophet who came to prepare the way of the Lord, to make his paths straight, to proclaim that Jesus was here, who knew that he wasn't even worthy to untie the guy's sandals because of how great he was. And yet Herod locks him up in prison, and what does Saint John the Baptist do? But he doubts, and he despairs, because now, as bad as the wilderness was, as itchy as that camel hair was, now he's in prison. And so he sends a crew of his disciples over to Jesus saying, are you really the one that I was here for, or did I just waste my time? Are you actually God incarnate here with us now, or should I look for someone else? And you may have noticed that Jesus doesn't answer his question directly. He doesn't say, yeah, John, don't worry, I'm the real guy. Instead, he tells John's disciples, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. That is to say, I don't even need to answer your question. Look around me, and you will see the kingdom of God. And that's the thing, in the person of Jesus, we see the kingdom of God. It's the way he began his ministry. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It's here, it's present, it's right next to you, even now. And so in Jesus' work, in performing these kind of miracles, healing people, restoring people, calming storms, raising the dead, a lot of times our sort of Sunday school answer as to why miracles happen is Jesus had to prove that he was God. That's not wrong, but recognize there's something bigger that's going on. God has promised to rescue his people. God has promised that one day, finally, there will be no more deafness. There will be no more blindness. There will be no more tears. There will be no more ICUs one day. And when Jesus shows up, and as Jesus walks around, that is true in the present. It's not just a future promise. It's not just pie in the sky sort of thinking. It's happening right then around him. And for those people who witnessed Jesus' ministry in Galilee, they saw the kingdom of God in their day. They saw it. They felt it. They touched it. They heard it. And at the end, our Lord promises that that kingdom will come to all of us at his return. But it still feels like we're left only with future promises. And so Jesus did us one better. Though he's not here right now for us to see and touch and feel like he was in Galilee, he gave all of us the kingdom of God, his very self, by the gift of faith. He has promised us, your Lord has promised you that he is present with you. When you hear his word, you hear his voice. When your sins are forgiven you, even by me or Pastor Lauer, you can be as certain that they are forgiven you as if Jesus were standing here saying it himself. When you take into your mouth the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is his body and blood. And besides that, for a moment, all time is suspended and you step from the present to the future to participate in the heavenly banquet, a foretaste of the feast to come, of the Lamb and his kingdom that has no end. When we gather here as God's people, time stops. The future invades the present, and those promises that feel and seem so distant are here manifested to us. Brothers and sisters, there's no getting around the fact that right now there is suffering and there is pain and there is difficulty in life. There's no getting around the fact that right now we oftentimes stare down the face of death. But in the kingdom of God, in the presence of Jesus, who despite how things look is here with you now, the dead will be raised. The tongues of even the mute will sing his praises forevermore. So hold on tight and let's sing his praises together now. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand now and we confess together.
If you'd like to know more about our Saviors in Mankato, you can find us on the web at www.oslcmankato.org.